Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. We are in a brand new set. You should head over to the YouTube channel to check out what it looks like IRL. But because of the new set, we're way behind schedule today, and we can't really do a podcast bit.
No, I had some emails that I wanted to read out that, of course, you brilliant people have sent in. However, we have really run out of time. We need to record our Crown Jewel predictions. You need to go to the old studio and pick up some more stuff to populate up the, with its no lights, to populate this brand new set. So let's dive into the show where we're going to be first talking about Samoa Joe's return.
Samoa Joe returned last night at the end of a pretty cracking, but not without its faults match, I will say. So this was, the opening match was AJ Styles comes out for a promo. Huge reaction for him in his home state of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
Which one's in which?
It's Atlanta, Georgia. So Georgia is the state.
So Georgia's in Atlanta. No. Atlanta's in Georgia. And he comes out, gets this huge reaction, and he's like, you know, I've got something to say to you, Daniel Bryan, so get out here right now. And Bryan comes out, and this is when I thought, why am I not more into this? This is AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. One of them's got the WWE Championship. The other one's come back after 2 years and concussions.
4 years, I believe. Was it 2 years? No, it was two years, you're right.
Two years. Like, why is this not amazing?
Well, I mean, one of my first notes I made watching this show is like, God, I'd be so much more into this match if it wasn't at Crown Jewel. Like, if it's the same thing we said about the DX Brothers of Destruction thing. If, like, that was at Survivor Series, I think I'd be well more into it. But because this whole event has been marred in various amounts of controversy, it really has soured me on all of the matches, really. Because I now just look at that event just being like, well, this it's you know, it's marred in controversy, but B, it's really being built around this pointless World Cup, which means nothing.
It's not pointless. It's in the name. It's to determine the best in the world
at the global pay-per-view known as Crown Jewel. But at least now on this SmackDown episode, it has been given some stakes, finally. So, yeah. But at the start of this show, I was like, I'm just really not into anything that is on this Crown Jewel show, and that's a shame, because I really want to be excited for AJ versus Bryan. Remember when we got really excited about after WrestleMania when they had that short match on SmackDown?
That was a great match. The kind of match that has enough in for them to build on the next one.
Exactamundo. Yeah. But that's what we were building to here, I suppose. Because Bryan reportedly, although we can now say confirmed reports, was very unhappy with Crown Jewel because of said controversies and essentially just refused to work the show. And he's got enough backstage clout to be able to get away with that sort of thing and just say, no. It's like him and John Cena were pretty much the only people to go, no, and I'm not doing it.
Someone pointed this out on Twitter, and I didn't even think of this. I just thought John Cena and Daniel Bryan, those are two completely unrelated people who have issue with Crown Jewel taking place in Saudi Arabia. They've got Bellas.
They have got Bellas.
I think the Bellas are the real... Now we've got a desk, I might start hitting it. Now it's the Bellas.
You reckon?
We have to salute them. They've got big moral consciences, obviously, evidently.
Mm.
So, yeah, Daniel Bryan comes out to my shoulder's cold without this cape covering it. Daniel Bryan comes down to talk to AJ and cuts a wicked promo, I thought. It's like, hey, I don't see you as a friend. I don't see you as an esteemed, respected colleague. I see you as the WWE champion, and I want to take it from you.
Yeah, the reason I came out of my retirement, my forced retirement, was because I wanted to be the WWE champion. That was what was driving me to get back into the ring. And it was really nice. Essentially, what they had to do was kind of expedite this feud very, very quickly so we could end it here. This segment may or not taken place if Brian was working the show, but it really did feel like when AJ was like, yeah, when I hit you with that Pele kick last week, I meant it.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was like, okay, let's get through this as quickly as we possibly can, and the feud's over.
That was weird. I didn't like that because they were... AJ started this bit by saying he apologizes for the Pele kick, and then he apologized because it was intentional. I just thought it was sloppy writing.
Mm-hmm.
But this did end up in a match. They kept on saying, it was so obvious, they kept on saying, yeah, I'll face you this Friday. You won't expect what's going to happen.
Wink. And then AJ was like, no, let's do this match right now. And then Shane O'Mac comes out to a massive pop. And he was like...
Inexplicably.
And then he was like, yeah, this is SmackDown. It's the land of opportunity or whatever the hell he likes to say. What up, Atlanta? Mm. And then says, we're going to have this match right now. And and so we got our crown jewel WWE Championship match on this episode of SmackDown Live, which... unfortunately, because it's on a TV show, means there's ad breaks in there, which kind of breaks up some of the flow. But I did think it was a bit of a terrific match.
Well, that's it. This was a really good match, told a great story. Brian is targeting AJ's arm because AJ's finisher is the phenomenal forearm.
And the yes lock.
And because setting up the yes lock. Likewise, AJ targets Daniel Bryan's left knee after he sort of fake injures it on a suicide dive outside because he's got the calf crusher in his arsenal and Daniel Bryan's finisher is the running knee.
Yeah.
It was a really nicely structured match. It did go through ad breaks. It went through two. It got a lot of time, but it would have been better had those ad breaks not been there and this was a pay-per-view encounter. And I was really, really into it. And in addition to the story and the structure, I love the counters. I thought this was a terrific counter match.
Well, particularly like as they got into the end when it was like trying, like Daniel Bryan did this amazing series of transitions where AJ went for the phenomenal forearm. Bryan caught him in like an armbar, like a triangle armbar. Then he transitioned that into the S-lock and then transitioned that into a triangle seamlessly. And then AJ transitioned that into a Styles Clash. And
that was awesome.
And off the Styles Clash, locked in the calf crusher.
Yeah.
Like it was a really, really smart, like counter-reversal style match. And I thought it was really, really great.
Same here. But it felt like a bit damp or like it was missing something. I felt like the guys' hearts weren't in it because this was a rushed match,
a last minute thing
because one of them doesn't agree with the pay-per-view's location this Friday.
Yes.
And just that took me out of it a bit because the whole thing was so transparently a way to get round this screwy thing WWE are doing with Crown Jewel, that I couldn't get into the match as much.
That's interesting. I mean, I sort of managed to. I think in my head I was like, well, this is how they've written Daniel Bryan out of these Fridays or this Friday's show. So I'm just gonna have to try and enjoy this match now. I get to enjoy this match now.
Well, and I think if this was on a pay-per-view without all the stuff surrounding it,
and that's what we said.
This would be awesome, like, and you'd like it more as well.
100%. Because sorry, my sound stopped for a second. Then I've always found that like ad breaks really do hamper down a match. I've said it like a lot of times on SmackDown Live. It's one of the reasons why I almost prefer Raw to SmackDown. I think they structure their matches better around ad breaks than SmackDown do. But if this was on pay per view, as I said, if this was at Survivor Series, this would have been. I'd have been so much more into this match. Or at TLC, because obviously they'd probably do a champ v champ match at Survivor Series. But I think I'd have been more into it there than I was here.
Well, here it ended after, you know, a really good, I'd say 20-minute match, where it ends in that calf crusher on Daniel Bryan's injured left knee, and Bryan taps.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, I don't know. It's like, I like it when people tap out. I wish people did submission finishes more and it wasn't seen as this, oh, they're weak, they're ruined. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I was brought up in the Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit days and Chris Jericho, who were making baby faces tap left, right and centre. But here, I felt like this was a bit of a punishment.
Oh, no, I didn't see that at all. Because someone said that to me on Twitter this morning, saying, like, do you think that was a punishment because he refused to do his show? And I was like, no, I think this was probably the finish they were going to do on Friday.
I don't know. Because this was, in WWE's mindset these days, and it has conditioned me to think this as well, if you tap out, that is quite a definitive end to that feud, because that is the ultimate submission, really. And this was their first encounter. To have a submission victory clean, it doesn't leave the appetite wanting more.
I don't know. It worked for me. Well, I think this was the finish they were going to do regardless.
But it does, that's somewhat mitigated by what happened afterwards, and that's the title of this video, because they both hug, they show respect to each other, and then Samoa Joe runs out and beats everyone up. Luke is just, he's also taken out Luke's mic pack.
Yep,
because
sorry.
Our cables aren't long enough, it seems, is another thing. That's why we get microphones.
Sorry, I was getting a lot of, like, my sound kept cutting out.
We need that little board where technical difficulties from The Simpsons.
Ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da.
The graphic is still standing, though, and my nipples are popping out. Samoa Joe attacks both men after this embrace and stands tall.
Yeah, he really came out of nowhere, because the reports were that Joe's injured at the moment. But again, this very much felt like last minute thing, what can we do? We need to set up another match anyway. Joe will do, I guess, because we can try and further on. And when Joe cut his promo later on in the show, which was again about AJ's family, it did make me go like, oh, guys, I thought we'd all move past this.
Well, you know, we've got an Ooh Wendy t-shirt in the works, so I'm thankful because we dragged our feet on that to the extent where it's gone out of the zeitgeist and potentially might come back in again.
Yeah, but I don't see this being a long-term thing. Like, I think what I liked about the ending of this, and I said this in my SmackDown review, perhaps I'm being very optimistic here. I'm doing an Ollie Davis optimistic. I'm writing my own stories in my head. But this...
Gonna make your own fun, brother.
But sometimes, and I've said this multiple times for WWE this year, I'm hoping this leads to a three-way feud between AJ, Joe, and Brian, because Joe choked out both men with the Kikina clutch, which to me would suggest that he's got beef with both of them, or at least Brian now has got an excuse to have beef with Joe because he choked him out after the match unnecessarily, and that can tie into some sort of three-way match at TLC, because we most likely won't get it at Survivor Series.
Totally. I think that's why Brian tapping out in the finish of this match is okay, because you forget about it because you're now wanting to see this three-way feud. And back in, I think last month, they had a few December SmackDown house show advertisements, and of course cards subject to change, but one of the most heavily promoted matches was AJ versus Brian versus Joe versus Miz in this four-way match. So maybe that's where they're going to go. I would love a three-way feud.
Yeah.
Potentially even a four-way feud and get the Miz in there. I've had no problem with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But I'm happy to see Joe back.
Yeah, it was really good to see him back. Yeah. This is the first time we've seen him since Hell in a Cell?
Because we thought he was injured there and that whole AJ feud was dropped.
Yeah,
was he last seen? Was it Super Showdown?
Was Super Showdown after or before
there's
Hell
too
in a
many.
Cell?
Was he at Evolution? But yeah, later on, AJ comes to Paige and says, I'm really angry. Let me have a match with Joe at Crown Jewel.
And she's like, do you want me to reward what he did?
Which I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Considering as well, I thought she had a bit of a bonehead decision earlier in the night. I thought this was a much nicer... And it did. It made sense as a general manager.
Especially if you play off Baron Corbin's acts on Raw, where he rewarded Bobby Lashley for losing and being a heel.
Yeah.
So this was the other way around. But yep, so Paige made that match for Crown Jewel. And then we got a scary, terrifying Angry Joe promo from a locker room later.
Yeah, just want to correct you on one point there. Baron Corbin didn't reward Bobby Lashley for losing. He rewarded Bobby Lashley for not being John Cena. Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie L. Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and RAs.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for... Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So of course, this is to everyone who's donated $25 a month or more to us on Patreon, which, you know, was one of the... That was a goal we reached a long, long time ago to upgrade the Wrestle Ramble set back when it was just I hope people like it because I really like it. And if people start saying, oh, I prefer the T-shirts or just a nondescript black wall behind you,
I think what
gonna
people,
be hurt.
I think what people might like or probably did like about the old set. What people liked about the old set was that it was very ramshackle. It was very... amateur hour. It literally was some T-shirts gaffer taped to a wall. We would spend the first 5 minutes of every record putting the T-shirts back up. They would sometimes fall down during the course. I think people really enjoyed that. So perhaps the only backlash to this is like, it looks too good.
Yeah.
It looks too... It looks too
you're overproduced. You're Coldplay.
You're sold out.
Well, anyway, all those people get a shout out on this show. So thank you, JVF. Jack Van Vliet.
Yes! Woo. Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor.
What does that even mean?
Because he's leaner.
Oh, I thought it was just clean.
Cleaner. Yeah, I realise now reading it out loud.
John's Secret Santos. What Ooh. Is it?
What is it? Big Apple Takedown, Lindsay Munro.
We've got to read some of that soon. There it is.
Oh, so it's over
behind your shoulder.
Thank you.
Butter me up, Soren Nord.
Oh, yeah, yes. Butter me up indeed. Built me up, Buttercup. Harry and the Henderson's Burgers.
He's big and hairy.
Yes, he is, like Ollie Davis.
Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
Oh, yes.
I still haven't played Red Dead Redemption, although I have bought it.
Don't know what it is. Ian Malcolm, Charles Xavier, Christopher Lloyd.
All the best people. Woo! Sayonara.
Cyan?
Cyan Grant. That's why Sayonara with... Cyan Grant.
That's why I went with Sayonara.
See you later.
And finally, Ryan Beban.
So we opened with the opening segment for a change.
Very nice.
That's like, well, usually we're quite Quentin Tarantino about the structure of these reviews. That is your... Oh, Ollie said something I don't like.
No, it's fine.
It's pretentious.
I was doing that for comedic effect.
Oh, okay.
I actually think Tarantino's earlier work is very good.
Jeff Hardy and The Miz cut some promos backstage. Jeff is goofy. Miz is cool.
Well, I mean, Jeff Hardy, he cuts, like we said with Undertaker and Kane, like they just say Undertaker and Kane things.
Mm.
With Jeff now, I just hear Jeff things. It's just...
Synapses.
Yeah, like...
Fire!
You hear Undertaker's like, boom, digging graves and digging souls, boom, the hell, and respect. Like, he's like, okay, it's an Undertaker promo. I get the gist of it. Same thing with a Hardy promo. He's like, paint on my face and eyes on my eyelids. And I'm like, cool, it's a Jeff Hardy promo. He said some stuff.
Which is great because, I mean, it's great in a way because you want people to have unique voices and you can very much tell who those promos are written for. Unfortunately, absolutely, you need substance as well. And I switch off because it's like Bray Wyatt. All those things saying are really fascinating. Well, like, they sound really good, but... You don't back them up, or I just can't latch into anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's I thought Mrs. Promo was much better.
So this was something you referred to earlier about Charlotte and Paige. So what's your problem here?
Well, she said, like, oh, Charlotte Flair, like, you know, you should be the captain of Team SmackDown. I was like, she lost multiple times to Becky Lynch. But I guess, in fairness, she is the only other member of the women's roster that's allowed to have a storyline. So perhaps that's why she has to be team captain.
So someone, I can't take credit for this. Someone else pointed it out, but I can't remember who.
Reddit?
Probably. Since Shane McMahon came back and started being an authority figure on SmackDown again, there has not been one single women's match.
Is that true?
That's true.
Amazing. I did think, I said this in the review, it's a massive disappointment that on this show, there was no follow-up whatsoever to Evolution. Like 95% of the women's roster was not featured on this show
It
whatsoever.
Wasn't in continuity.
Well, that's what I'm starting to think.
Yeah.
But granted, as we've said in the predictions, SmackDown did only have one storyline going into Evolution, and that storyline is now over. So unfortunately, there are no storylines for them anymore.
Yeah, so I didn't mind this because the idea is Charlotte and Becky stole the show on Evolution, which they very much did. It was one of the best main roster WWE matches of the year. So Paige approached it from that angle. Like, you fought to the end. And she really did, you know, that spot where she comes up out the chairs and Renee Young annoyingly screams that she's a warrior. But, like, Charlotte really did look fantastically cool in that match near the end.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind that. But what I didn't like was Charlotte beaming. She was just big grin on her face.
Yep. Nothing.
Second coming of Finn Balor.
Absolutely nothing of this matters. But Flair, to her credit, was just, you know, said, I'm not the right woman for the job.
Which is actually quite an interesting character direction, seeing how egotistical she usually is, even as a babyface.
Yes, so I'm really like this as a character choice for Charlotte, and actually now could lead to an interesting storyline. Granted, they've only got 2 more weeks left to build this on TV, for them to pick a team captain and to pick a team, because Becky is obviously tied up with the Ronda Rousey match, so the rest of the SmackDown women are all going to have to stand in a row and decide who's going to be on the team.
So to get across how much I love Becky Lynch, when Paige asked Charlotte to be the Survivor
Series
captain,
why is it not Becky?
Why is it not Becky? She's the champion.
Did the exact same thing.
And then, oh yeah, the big Ronda Rousey match, which is absolutely enormous. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Well, she should be the Survivor Series team captain too.
I agree. Yeah. My terrible Todd Phillips, we know it's Tom, commentary of the week was him constantly not being able to say Crown Jewel. He had to say every single time, it is the global pay-per-view event known as Crown Jewel. Every single effing time he brought it up, and every time it dug into me even more. I've really turned off on Tom Phillips now as a commentator. I thought he was fine. I thought he was absolutely fine, but he's really starting to wind me up now. He is worse than Cole.
Yeah. At least Cole's got a kind of affable.
He's got a personality.
Lameness.
Yeah, an affable lameness to him. Whereas Todd Phillips is literally just, he may as well not be there. He may as well just put a speak and spell there and just program things into it. And he can just go, that global pay-per-view event. And that's all you need from him.
The man likes commentary and
plain
text.
Yeah. SmackDown rolls on.
Maybe it's just because they want to distance themselves as much as possible from the words Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. So it's not in Saudi Arabia. It's global.
It's a global event.
And, you know, it's
global pay-per-view event.
Some people are calling it Crown Jewel. We just know it's known as Crown Jewel. It's like, Linda doesn't know anything. It's honest. Don't ask Linda about it.
We've heard rumors.
We've heard some stuff, but you know, we're just there to please the fans.
Probably that Dave Meltzer who just makes up all of his stuff.
Then we got Big E versus Cesaro in a trick or street fight. I thought this was really fun.
I had a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, I don't think this is the right time.
Where's the sour note?
Well, you know, New Day lose their tag titles. Big Show joins the bar, which was initially intriguing, and now I don't see the point. And it's just like, is now the time in their feud to have this comedy match?
I'll be honest with you. When they announced the lineup for this week's SmackDown and they said it was going to be a member of the New Day versus a member of the bar, I thought there was then comma and a trick or street fight. And I was like, cool, Gallows and Anderson will finally get on TV.
Yeah.
Because that's usually their year. That's their annual shtick as they get to do this match. And I was slightly disappointed that it was here, because this is meant to be your tag title feud. To then have a wacky comedy match as your go-home angle for the pay-per-view, for the global pay-per-view events.
We think it's called Crown Jewel.
It did seem a bit weird. With that said, I had a lot of fun.
That's it.
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as Byron Saxton did, but I had a lot of fun.
There was something, Byron Saxton had this call where it was like, I can't wait. You know, about it was about Crown Jewel, I think. And Corey Graves just goes, I hope you get sick. So mean. But I completely agree. Like, with that criticism out of the way, this was so much fun.
Yeah.
I loved New Day. I didn't. The New Day cosplaying as the Brood.
So
I didn't
awesome.
Know. I wanted that so much.
Just hearing that music as well. Yeah. I suddenly got this wave of nostalgia all over me and they came out. And I was half expecting them to do the fire entrance. I know they can't, but I was like, they're going to do the fire entrance. But
but they sprayed the blood, though.
They did. No, not blood.
Mystery red liquid.
Viscous liquid.
Viscous liquid
is what they used to call it back in the day. But like they did slams into pumpkins and like, and it turned into this massive schmoz because it's a street fight. So them standing on the outside did seem very silly. But everyone just did some big stuff. Big Show tried to drown Xavier Woods bobbing for apples.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, like, Big Show went to chokeslam Woods in Kingston and they spat the viscous liquid in his face with Big Pop. And then Big E spat viscous liquid into Cesaro's face at the beginning for the win. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, really fun. Does undermine the feud. Do you know another reason, apart from Halloween, why the Brood might have been honoured?
Well, they cut their very first promo on SmackDown, on the very first episode of SmackDown back in 1999. That's when the Brood, unleashed their silence and they cut their very first promo.
Well, that's a great stat. But I've got another stat.
Oh, cool.
It's Edge's birthday yesterday.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so that could be another reason. Then we got a promo backstage. I've called it all the World Cup guys standing in a row.
I did the same thing.
So that's Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, Miz, and Randy Orton. Everyone but Miz cuts an awfully scripted promo.
This was the worst staged, most contrived backstage segments WWE have done in some time.
Well, I think you should qualify that by saying last night. Because the Nia Jax Ember Moon thing was the before.
No, but that was...
Miz saved this.
No. What I'm saying is not the horribly scripted stuff of it, because this, at least there was ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Uh-huh. But it was like Shane McMahon was standing, it was like, in this competition will be... The Miz. The Miz steps forwards. It will also have Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy steps forward, you know, hitting your mark. And it was just horribly contrived. And it felt so unnaturalistic. And you think, in your world, you lads have just been standing off camera, waiting for your name to be said so you can step forward. Mm. And that's why I'm saying it's the most contrived staged backstage segments in some time. But yeah, then they all cut rubbish promos with the exception of The Miz, who more or less saved this segment.
Yeah, so Miz said Halloween's come early because, look, Ray's dressed as a Power Ranger, Jeff's the long-lost member of the Insane Clown Posse, and Randy, and he turns to Randy. Randy's just staring at him. And Miz, like, it was such good acting, just recoiled. And Randy's cool.
It's really cool. Yeah, Randy's really cool. But here's where Shane dropped the bombshell, Power Man 5000. He said that he really wants SmackDown to win because for some reason it's really important to Shane McMahon that he has the best in the world, despite the fact you've got the WWE champion, which in theory he is the best in the world. However, he really wants SmackDown to win, and he has said that whoever makes it to the final of the World Cup tournament to determine the best in the world at the global pay-per-view events known as Crown Jewel, if they lose, they are no longer welcome at SmackDown. Those were his words, but then the commentators specified later on, they're getting fired. They will be fired from SmackDown and will presumably have to go to Raw or 205 Live.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a real weird swerve to put in there. And usually when they do that, that makes me think, oh, okay, well, they're winning then, because they wouldn't go. But here I think the brands need something like this. I think SmackDown needs to lose someone, really. They've got too much talent, and Raw is in desperate need of a couple of fresh faces.
I can almost see Randy getting to the final and losing and heading over to Raw and being inserted into that Universal Championship picture, which at the moment really could do with someone like a Randy Orton to try and sort of, you know, maybe elevate it slightly.
Yeah.
Because it's in a bit of a funk at the moment because of the terrible news. So maybe a Randy Orton going over could be a massive benefit for Raw in terms of that. So I could see them definitely doing that. It did feel like this was, because this was put into place on the go-home show, you know, 3 days before Crown Jewel, the pay-per-view event known as Crown Jewel. We don't know if that's what it's officially called. It felt like they had to do this because they have plans to move someone across. Because if SmackDown just wins, then you're like, well, why did you have that stipulation then? Because it's not on the Raw side.
Yeah.
But I did, I groaned a little bit when Shane was like, I don't want my sister Stephanie to have someone who is the best in the world. I was like, I don't think Stephanie's not been there. I don't think she cares.
Because that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about the McMahons.
Yeah.
I do not like Shane being back. Plus, just from a kayfabe perspective, Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, The Miz, Randy Orton. Why would you want to potentially lose any of those guys?
Because they're not the best in the world. They let one of the Raw guys become the best in the world.
But exactly. That is so fickle. That is like, how big is your ego to be punctured a little bit like that?
Well, you
lost on that night, so I don't want you anymore. Even though, you know, you're actually very good.
Yes. Even though you are a top draw and an actual star, I don't want you here.
So then we got Paige booking that AJ versus Samoa Joe match. Then we got Shinsuke Nakamura taking on R-Truth because Ty Dillinger, very sadly, has a hand injury.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Needs surgery. Apparently it's an old injury that's been aggravated. And yeah, he's going to have to get surgery, which sucks.
Because that tens he's been doing.
The guy's injured, man.
Sorry.
Which is a real shame because I like Ty.
Yeah.
And R-Truth is a good replacement because he is just fantastically over with his new dance. Who would have thought that a Carmella R-Truth act just a couple of months ago would be money?
Well, here's the thing. Like, Brian Alvarez posted this on Twitter of Figure 4 Online. He said, I can't believe that R-Truth and Carmella are my favourite act on SmackDown when 2 months ago I was ready to stop reviewing SmackDown because I could not stomach another Carmella main event match.
Yeah.
And yet here we are, and they are a really, really good pairing. They did the dance break in the middle. I thought the match actually was quite bland and boring, really, because it wasn't much of a match. It was more like, you may as well have not done it. Like, that's how much of a bland, boring match it was.
It was nice to see Nakamura exists, though.
Well, yes.
And that I didn't just dream him up once.
Well, here we go. 75 days now since Nakamura had a storyline.
Wow.
75 days.
United States champion. Although it was announced that he'll be facing Seth Rollins.
Oh, on this show?
I'm pretty sure I heard it. So that this is one of those things that comes with a caveat. Like, it was like, of course, United States champion Nakamura will be facing the Intercontinental champion at Survivor Series.
That makes sense.
So yeah, you'd assume it's Seth Rollins.
Well, yes, but I didn't know. I wasn't aware they announced it for this show.
It wasn't like a big graphic announcement. Mm. Not like this one that's stayed up there. Nice work, WrestleTalk. So yeah, Nakamura wins with a Kinshasa. Then we got Becky Lynch promo.
Yes. Now, so I thought the second hour of this show was pretty bad, pretty boring. But here comes Becky to save the day.
Oh, yeah.
And she comes out and essentially cuts a very short promo. This promo was literally bad, but it was so short, but so to the point that I loved it even more.
Yeah, yeah.
Because also she came out and she was like, I won Evolution. I'm the man round here. And now I'm facing Ronda Rousey. She claimed to be the baddest woman on the planet. On what planet is she the baddest woman? Great line anyway. Mm. And then she just says, at Survivor Series, I'm going to rip off your arm. And then she leaves. And I'm like, brilliant. But yeah, the key to this, and what I loved about this segment, the commentators never made mention that she's a heel. The commentators never was like, what a dastardly person she is, what a horrible human being, she betrayed her best friend. All of that, not mentioned. And they just treated Becky like she's Becky. And so I'm hoping, perhaps I'm reading too much into this, but I'm hoping, I'm fingers crossed, that we can stop this ludicrous push of Becky as a heel and just accept that she's over as a babyface and just start acting accordingly.
Yeah, you don't need to tweak the character at all, really. Just have her proceed as...
Because this is the same Becky we've had since SummerSlam. And it was great. Just don't have the commentators going like, oh, she's awful.
Well, maybe it's because the commentators love Charlotte so much that because Becky isn't feuding with Charlotte anymore, it's okay.
But they also love Ronda. Mm, oh, well, although they do have brand loyalty. Brand unless you're Corey Graves, who said that he's picked Bobby Lashley to win the World Cup.
Bland loyalty, then. So I thought this was great. 2 points that she made where she said, everyone you faced so far, Ronda, was beaten before they even got in the ring with you. I didn't come here to cosplay, which I guess was the Alexa Bliss side of things. I didn't come here to talk about a reality TV show, which is the Bellas. I'm just here to rip your arm off, like you said. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great point. And then, like, I never thought about this match being based around the Battle of the Arm Bars.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Becky's disarmer submission and, of course, Ronda's arm bar. So, yeah, I think they can... I'm really looking forward to this match. I didn't really... I was just, that's happening. That is something I want to see. But now I'm actually emotionally invested in it.
Alexa responded to Becky's claim of her being just, so you know, the cosplayer that she is.
Yeah.
And she sort of made this sort of jibe back and forth. And Becky just quote retweeted her saying, like, that was terrible. You probably pulled a hamstring making that reply.
And then we got Samoa Joe doing his promo in the locker room.
He did call this their final chapter, which may put some water over my fiery dreams of a three-way fuse.
I thought this was a great, intense promo as normal, but I'm almost glad that this has come in and stopped AJ and Brian, because that AJ Brian feud was so lackluster and weak.
That's true.
That I kind of want them to just reset and start again in a couple of months. And then the main event was, because that Jeff Hardy Randy Orton singles match was so good last week, let's have Jeff Hardy and Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton and The Miz. So it's the baby faces and the heels of those who are in the World Cup to determine the best in the world at
the global pay-per-view events known as Crown Jewel.
That we think is called Crown Jewel. Uh-huh. It's that again.
Pedestrian match. I thought it did pick up a little bit though when Hardy and Mysterio started double teaming Miz. Mm-hmm. Jeff Hardy showing Lita has to do a poetry in motion correctly. And eventually they won. And then Randy just started RKOing people out of nowhere. Do you remember when...
Awesomely so. Ray does his dive off the top rope. RKO just out of nowhere. Looked great.
And then there's a nice moment when like Randy's laid out Jeff and Ray with RKOs. And Miz just puts his hand on his shoulder being like, hey, we won. RKO to Miz as well. But do you remember when Randy turned heel? And he had those weeks where he wasn't hitting the RKO. And everyone was like, this is like a story they're doing, is when's Randy going to finally hit the RKO? He's not doing it because it's a popular move. He doesn't want to get cheered for doing it. This is a genius bit for Randy Orton as a character. Now he just throws it whenever. So that's out the window, I guess.
It's a real shame. Orton's heel character was one of the most intriguing of the whole company.
Yeah.
And he had that feud with Jeff, with the, you know, it's not good now, but that was actually really cool and had some cool spots. And then he was going around just bullying random people. There was that awesome segment where he was just weirdly bullying a production staff member.
Yeah, where's that, Randy?
Well, it stopped at SmackDown 1000.
Yeah, that's true.
The Evolution reunion happened, and he hasn't really gone full bad guy since. He's just been a generic heel, as opposed to this sick, twisted, demented heel.
Maybe he'll pick up again after Crown Jewel. Maybe once the World Cup to determine the best in the world is over, then we can go back to proper Randy.
And just no one wants to see Jeff and Randy. I think like they're not wrestling like it's a blood feud. They just wrestle when they should be brawling, and it turns the entire crowd off. When they were in there together, you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, I was so uninterested in this main event. It was just incredible how uninterested I was.
Well, I share that opinion, apart from Ray.
Well, Ray's great.
I've turned such a corner on Ray. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
He's had a great year.
Yeah. I just loved watching him move around. Mm-hmm. Just like a bouncing back and forth, like a pinball. Anyway, so overall, I would give this show probably a smack bang in the middle. Just because it had that crown jewel spectre looming over it.
Which is fair enough. I gave it a low smacktastic. Mm. Hindsight might have been slightly high. But I really enjoyed the AJ Bryan match. Really enjoyed the trick or street fight. I had a lot of fun with that. Yeah. And I loved Becky's promo. So like those three things. And the AJ Bryan match and the trick or street fight really took up the first hour of the show. So I enjoyed more than half of the show. It was just, I thought a lot of the second hour was a bit pants. But Becky really did elevate things. I like SmackDown Live when it is not focused on the top stars from 10 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. But
obviously, we're going to do a short outro for this podcast as well, because we need to record more stuff and you need to get out of here. However, Andrew Lee has quickly emailed in to say, I was under the impression that the jokes that you guys wanted were bad/groan-worthy jokes. This is in response to us not understanding the jokes that he sent in previously, the one about the bone in the hand. So you're absolutely right, Andrew. We do want bad groany jokes, but we need to be able to get them first in order for them still to work.
Yeah, so we weren't smart enough to get joke because it was based on a, what was it like? It was a word that meant bones.
Yes.
That I'd never heard of.
Absolutely.
Over my head.
Yes. He has tried, though, little known fact, the front of the noodle letters in a can of alphabet soup is actually Times New Roman.
I mutlid that one.
You did.
That was a mutly laugh.
Will from New York has sent in, heard this one the other day and I thought I'd share it with you guys. How do you find Will Smith in the snow? You look for the Fresh Prince. Fresh Prince. Like the TV show. Yeah. Like his old rapper gimmick.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
It sounds like Fresh Prince.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is all we've got time for on today's show. We will be back, rather, tomorrow. We're going to have two episodes up tomorrow. Obviously, myself and Laura will be around for the NXT review, but also we'll have our Crown Jewel predictions going up, which will be a lot of fun, I'm sure. But we'll see you then. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.